So tonight we're going to read chapter 11, Vishwarup Darshan Yoga. And what we do is we chant the verses. First I chant, then everyone chants, verse by verse, and the translation. We're reading Srila Sridhar Maharaj's translation. So if devotees are reading Prabhupada's Gita, the Sanskrit's the same, the translation may not be the same, but don't worry about that. And then we'll discuss afterwards. But also tonight is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day today, so we'll segue into that a little bit as well. It's actually a very appropriate chapter for that. Okay, so are we ready?
Yes, we are ready.
Jai Gurudev. Jai Sri Krishna Arjuna Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chapter 11, Vishwarup Darshan Yoga, the vision of the universal form. Arjuna uvacha madanugrahaya paramam guyamatyatma samangitam yachavtvam vachastena mohayam vigato mama. Arjuna uvacha madanugrahaya paramam guyamatyatma sangitam yachchoktam vachastena mohoyam bigato mama. Arjun said, by your grace you have revealed your hidden treasure to me, and my ignorance of your supreme self has been dispelled. Bhava pyayo hi bhutanam shrota vistaraso maya tvatha kamala pratraksha mahatmyam api chavyayam. Bhava pyayo hi bhutanam shruta vistaraso maya tavapta kamala pratraksha mahatmyam api chayvayam. O beautiful lotus-eyed Lord, I have heard your elaborate description of the manifestation and dissolution of the living beings, and I have also heard your description of your inexhaustible glories. Evam mitat yatatatvam atmanam parameshara drastam itchamite rupam aishvaryam purushottama. Etam nitaditatatvam atmanam parameshwaram drastam icchamite rupam aishvaryam purushottama. O Lord, you have perfectly described your supreme self. Yet, O Purushottam, I wish to see this glorious form of yours. Manyase adiyachyam maya drashtam iti prabho yogeshwara tato me tvam darshayatmanam avyayam. Manyase adiyachyam maya drashtam iti prabho yogeshwara tato me tvam darshayatmanam avyayam. O Yogeshwar, I implore thee, if you consider it possible for me to see it, please reveal your imperishable form to me. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Pasyame Partarupani Satasota Sahasrasha Nana Biddani Dibhyani Nana Barna Kritinicha. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Pasyame Partarupani Satasota Sahasrasa Nana Vidhani Dibhyani Nana Varna Kritinicha. The Supreme Lord said, O Partha, behold my innumerable divine forms of many kinds, colors, and shapes. Pasyadityan Vasun Rudran Ashvino Marutastata Bahunyadrishta Purvani Pasya Ashcharayani Bharata. Pasyadityan Vasun Rudran Ashvino Marutastata
Bahunya drishta porvani pasyas charyani bharata.
O Bharat, behold the gods, Adityas, Vasus, Rudras, Ashwini Kumars, and Vayus. Behold my many wondrous forms, hitherto unseen.
Ihaikashtam jagat krishnam pasyadya sacharacharam mamadeha godakesha yatschanya drastam ichyasi. Ahaikashtam jagat krishnam pasyadya sacharacharam mamadeha godakesha yatschanya drastam ichyasi.
O vigilant Arjun, behold in one place, in this form of mine, the whole universe of moving and stationary beings, or anything else you desire to see.
Natumam shakyase drashtam anenaiva svachakshusha dibhyam dadamite chakshu pasyame yogamaishwaram. Natumam shakyase drashtam anenaiva svachakshusha dibhyam dadamite chakshu pasyame yogamaishwaram.
But you cannot see me with these eyes, so I give you divine vision. Behold my divine opulences.
Sanjayo vacha eva muktvar tato rajan mahayogeshwaro hari darshas yamasa partaya paramam rupa aishwaram. Sanjaya uvacha evam muktvarato rajan mahayogeshwaro hari darshansasapartaya paramam rupam aishwaram.
Sanjay said, O King Dhritarashtra, speaking thus to Arjuna, the omnipotent Supreme Lord Sri Hari revealed his magnificent almighty form.
Aneka bhaktranayanam anekadbhuta darshanam aneka dibhya baranam dibhyaneko dayatutta judham. Aneka bhaktanayanam anekadbhuta darshanam aneka dibhya baranam dibhyaneko dayatayudham dibhya malya parabdaram dibhya gandanulok epanam sarvascharya mayam devam ananta vishvato mukam dibhya malyam varadaram dibhya gandanulepanam sarvascharya mayam devam anantam vishvato mukam.
The Lord revealed his effulgent, omnipresent, all wonderful universal form of many mouths and eyes, many marvels, effulgent dress and garlands, anointed with celestial fragrances, many dazzling ornaments, and gleaming upraised weapons.
Divi surja sahasrasya bhavedyuga pad uttita jadiba sadrishi sasyad vashastasya mahatmana. Dvi surja sahasrasya bhavedyuga pad uttita yadiva sadrishi sasyad vashastasya mahatmana.
The brilliance of a thousand suns appearing simultaneously in the sky might resemble the effulgence of this great universal form of the Lord.
Tatraikastam jagat krishnam pravibhaktam anekadha apasyad deva devasya sharire pandavastada. Tatraika stan jagat krishnam pravibhaktam anekada apasya deva devasya sharire pandavastada.
In that moment, there on the battlefield, Arjun saw the entire multifaceted universe in one, within the body of Lord Sri Krishna, the supreme God of gods.
Tatasa vishmaya vishto Vristaroma dananjaya pranamya shirasa devam kritanjalire bhashata. Tatasa vishmaya vishto Vristaroma dananjaya pranamya shirasa devam krityanjalira basata.
Astonished, the hairs of his body standing on end, Arjun bowed his head in obeisance to Lord Krishna. Placing his palms together, he prayed.
Arjuna uvacha pashami devam stava deva dehai sarvam stata bhuta vesesha sangham brahmanam isham kamalasanastam rishimscha sarvam urugamscha divyan.
Arjuna uvacha pashami devam stava deva dehe sarvam tata bhuta vishesha sangam brahmanam isham kamalasanastam rishimscha sarvam urugamscha divyam. Arjun said, O Lord, I see within your body the demigods, all species of life, the celestial sages and serpents, Mahadev and Lord Brahma, seated on the lotus flower.
Aneka bahudara vaktranetram pasyamitam savato nantarupam nantam namadyam napunam stavadim pasyami visveshvara visvarupa.
Aneko bahuda vaktranetram pasyamitam savato nantarupam nantam namadyam napunam stavadim pasyami visveshvara visvarupa. O Lord of the universe, O universal form in all directions, I see your infinite form of many arms, bellies, mouths, and eyes. I see no beginning, middle, or end of you.
Kiritinam gadinam chakrinam cha tejorasim sarvato diptimantam pasyamitam dunikir sham samantad diptanalarka jutim aprameyam kirtitanam gadinam chakrinam cha chejurasim sarvato diptimantam pasyamitam dunikirsham samantad diptintalarka jutim aprameyam.
I see you everywhere, with crown, club, and disc, a mass of effulgence illuminating all, like the blazing light of the sun, difficult to behold and incomprehensible.
Tvam aksharam paramam veditavyam, tvam asya vishvasya param nidhanam, tvam avyaya sastvata dharma gopta, sanatanas tvam purusho matome. Tvam aksharam paramam veditavyam, tvam asya vishvasya paramam nidhanam, tvam avyaya shasvata dharma gopta, sanatanas tvam purusho matome.
You are the supreme absolute truth, knowable by the Vedas. You are the supreme reservoir of the universe, and the imperishable preserver of the eternal religion described in the Vedas. I now understand you to be the eternal Supreme Personality.
Anadi madhyantam anantabirjam anantabahum shashi surjanetram pasyamitam diptahutasya baktram svatejasa vishwamidam tapantam. Anadi madhyantam anantabirjam anantabahum shashi surjanetram pasyamitam diptahatusha vaktram svatejas vishvam idam tapantam.
I see you without beginning, middle, or end, infinitely powerful with countless arms. Your eyes are the sun and the moon, your mouth is blazing fire, and the entire universe is seared by your radiance.
Jaja prithivyoridam anantaram hi vyaptam tvaya kena dishascha sarvaha drishva bhutam rupamidam tavagram lokatrayam pravahittam mahatmam dvaja prithvyoridam antaram hi vyaptam tvaya kena dishascha sarva drishva bhutam rupamidam tavagram lokatrayam pravayitam mahatmam.
You alone pervade all directions, and all space between heaven and earth. O gracious one, seeing this wondrous and fearsome form of yours, all the inhabitants of the three worlds are terrified.
Ami hitvam surasanga vishante, kechit bita pranjalayo grananti, svastyukta maharishi siddha sangha, stuvanti tvam stutibi pushkalabhi.
Ami hitvam surasanga vishante, kechit bita pranjalayo grananti, svasti tuktva maharishi siddha sangha, stuvanti tvam stutibi pushkalabhi.
All the demigods are entering into you, some fearfully offering you prayers with cupped hands. The great sages and perfected beings are singing your glories in beautiful verses, saying, may all auspiciousness come to the world.
Rudra ditya vasavo ye cha sadhyo vishvesvino marutas choshmapascha gandhava yaksha shashura siddha sangha vikshante tvam vishmitas chaiva sarve rudra ditya vasavo ye cha sadhyo vishvesvino marutas choshmapascha Gandhava yaksha sura siddha sangha vikshante tvam vishmitas chaiva sarve.
The Rudras, Adityas, Vasus, Sadhyas, Vishvadevas, Ashwini Kumars, Vayus, deities of the forefathers, the Gandharvas, Yakshas, Asuras, and Siddhas, indeed, they all marvel to behold you.
Rupam mahatte baho vaktranetram mahabaho bahu bahura padam bahudaram bahu damstrakaralam drisvaloka pravayatitas tattaham rupam mahatte baho vaktranetram mahabaho bahu bahuru padam bahudaram bahu damstrakaralam drisvaloka pravyatitis tattaham.
O mighty armed one, seeing your vast form of many mouths, eyes, arms, legs, feet and bellies, fearful with its many teeth, all beings, including myself, are afflicted with fear.
Nabha sprisham diptam anekabarnam vyatananam diptava vishalam netram drisvahi tvam pravyahtita tantar atma dritimna vindam mi shaman cha vishnu nabhas prisham diptam anekavarnam vyatananam biptavishalanetram drisvahi tvam pravyatita tantar atma dritimna vindam mi shaman cha vishnu.
O Vishnu, seeing your sky-touching, dazzling form of myriad colors, with gaping mouth and huge fiery eye, my heart trembles with fear, and I cannot find equilibrium or peace.
Damstra kalani cha te mukani, drisvaiva kalana sanibani, dishona janena labhe cha sharma, prasiddha devasa, jagannivasa damsa karalani chate mukani drisvaiva kalanala sanibani jisho na jane na labhe cha sharma prasiddha devasya jagannivasa.
Seeing your mouths resembling the fire of the universal annihilation, ghastly with the terrible teeth, I am distraught and have lost my bearings. Be gracious, O Lord of the gods, O abode of the universe.
Ami chatam dhritarashtrasya putra sarve sahava vanipala sanghai bhishmadrona shutta putra stataso shahashma diyar apiyodam mukyai. Ami chatam dhritarashtrasya putra sarve sahaiva vanapanipala sanghai Bhishma Drona Shuta Putrastataso Sahasmadiya Rapiyoda Mukhyaye Bhaktranite Twaramana Vishanti Damstra Karalani Bayanakani Ketchid Vilanga Dashanana Tareshu Sandrishyante Chunitar Utamangai Vaktrani te Twaramana Vishanti Damsra Kalani Bayananakani Ketchid Valagna Dashanana Tareshu Sandrishyante Chunitar Utamangai.
The sons of Dhritarashtra, their allied kings, and Bhishma, Drona, and Karna, along with our chief warriors, all are rushing into your dreadful mouths of terrible teeth. Some can be seen with their heads caught and crushed by your teeth.
Jata nadinam bhavo mimbu vega samudram evapi mukha dravanti tata tava minara lokabira Vishanti Bhaktrani Abhito Jvalanti Jata Nadinam Bhavo Mibuka Vega Samudra Eva Vimukha Dravanti Tata Tavami Naraloka Vira Vishanti Bhaktrani Abhito Jvalanti.
As many rivers flow towards the ocean to finally enter into it, so these heroes of the world are entering your flaming mouths that illuminate all around.
Jata pradiptam jvalanam patanga Vishanti nashaya samrida vega Tataiva nashaya vishante lokas Tavapi bhaktrani samrida vega Jata pradiptam jvalanam patanga Vishanti nashaya samrida vega Tataiva nashaya vishanti lokas Tavapi vaktrani samrida vega.
As moths are impelled to their death in blazing fire, similarly all the worlds are helplessly rushing to certain death, entering into your mouths.
Lelityase grasamana samantal lokan samagran vadanair jvaladdi Tejobir apurya jagat samagram pashastavogra pratapanti vishnu Leliyase grasamana samantal lokan samagran vadanir jvalabhi Tejobir apurya jagat samagram pashastavogra pratapanti vishnu
O Vishnu, with your flaming mouths, you are relishing devouring all the worlds. Your all-pervading glaring effulgence searing the entire universe.
Akyahime ko bhavam ugrarupo namostute deva vara prasiddha vidnatum icchami bhavantam madhyam nahi prajanami tava pravritim Akyahime ko bhavam ugrarupo Namostu te devavara prasiddha Vigyatam icchami bhavantam adhyam Nahi prajanami tava pravritim
O fearsome one, please tell me who you are. O Lord of the gods, I offer obeisance unto you. Please be gracious. I wish to fully know you, the origin, as I cannot understand your actions.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Kalosmi lokaksha kritapa pravridho lokan samahartam iha pravrita rite pitvam nabhavishyanti sarve ye vashtita pratyanikeshu yodha Sri Bhagavan uvacha kalosmi lokakaya krit pravridho Lokam samhartam iha pravritta te pitvam bhavishyante sarve ye vashtita pratyankesha yodha.
The Supreme Lord said, I am time, the mighty vanquisher of all. and I am engaged in destroying the worlds. Even if you do not slay them, not one of the warriors in the enemy party will be spared.
Tasmat tvam utistaya sholabhavasva jitva satram bhunkshva rajyam samridham maya ivaite nahita purvam eva nimita matram bhava sachchim tasmat tvam utistaya sholabhavasva jitva shatrun bhunkshva rajyam samridham maya ivite nahita purvam eva nimita matram bhavasavaschachim.
So arise, be glorious, conquer the enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. All these warriors have already been killed by me, O Savyaschin. You be but an instrument.
Dronan cha, Bhishman cha, Jayadrata cha, Karnan tatanyan apiyodabiran, Maya hatams tvam jahim ma vyatishta, Yudyashva jetasarane sapatnam, Dronan cha, Bhishman cha, Jayadratan cha, Karnan tatanyan apiyodabiran, Maya hatamstvam jahima vyatishta yudyashva jetasi rane sapatnam.
Slay Drona, Bhishma, Jayadrata, Karna, and the many warriors who are as good as slain by me. Fear not, fight, you will be victorious over the enemy.
Sanjaya uvacha etachchutta vachanam keshavasvaya Krityanjalir vipamana kriti namaskritva bhuya evaha krishnam sagadadgadam vittabita pranamya. Sanjaya uvacha etachchurutta vachanam keshavasya Krityanjalir vipamana kriti namaskritva bhuya eva krishnam Sagadgadam Vita Vita Pranamya.
Sanjaya said, hearing these words of the Lord, the trembling Arjun bowed his head, placing the palms of his hands together in prayer, with a fearful heart, bowing again, he spoke falteringly.
Arjuna uvacha stane rishi kesha tava prakritya jagat prahastya cha anurajate cha Rakshamsi bittani jishodravanti sarve namashyanti cha siddha sangha. Arjuna uvacha stane rishikesha tava prakritya jagat parishya cha anurajate cha Rakshamsi bittani jishodravanti sarve namashyanti cha siddha sangha.
Arjun said, O Rishikesh, it is fitting that the whole world joyfully sings your glories with love. The demons flee, scattering in all directions, and the perfected beings offer obeisance to you.
Kasmatscha tenu namiran mahataman gariyase brahmanopi adikartre ananta devasya jagannivasa Tvam aksharam sadasattat param jat kasmatscha tena namiran mahatman gariyase brahmanopi adikatre ananta devasa jagannivasa tvam aksharam sadasattat param jat.
And, O gracious one, how would they not bow to you? The worshipable creator of even the creator, Lord Brahma. O infinite God of gods, O abode of the universe, you are the manifest, the unmanifest, the supreme, imperishable.
Tamadi deva purusho puranas, tamasya vishvasya param nidanam, vitasi vedyancha parancha dama, tvaya tatam vishvam anantarupa, Tvamadi deva purusha puranas
tamasya vishvasya param nidanam vetasi vejancha param cha dhamma tvaya tatam vishvam anantarupa.
You are the eternal origin of all the demigods and the only refuge of this universe. You alone are the knower and the knowable and the supreme abode. O Lord of infinite forms, the entire universe is pervaded by you.
Vayo yamogner varuna shashanka prajapatis tvam prapitam mahascha namo namaste stu shahasrakritva punascha buyopi namo namaste. Vayo yamogner varuna shashanka prajapatis tvam prapita mahascha namo namaste stu ashashrakritva punascha buyopi namo namaste.
You are the father and the grandfather of all beings. You are air, death, fire, the ocean and the moon. Obeisances unto you thousands of times, again and yet again.
Namaha purushtad ata prishtataste namostu te sarvatta eva sarva ananta virjamita vikramastvam sarva samopshnosi tatosi sarvaha. Nama purushtad ata prishtataste namostu te sarvatta eva sarva ananta virjamita vikramastvam sarvam samnosi tatsi tapasarva.
O embodiment of all existences, my obeisance is unto you from the front, behind, and all directions. O Lord of unlimited potency and immeasurable prowess, you pervade all, therefore you are all.
Sakate matva prasabham yad uktam, he Krishna, he Jadava, he Saketi. Agyata mahimanam tabedham maya pramadatam pranayena vapi sakete matva prasabham yaduktam he Krishna he yadava hai shaketi ajanata mahimanam tabedham maya pramadatam pranayena vapi yatscha vahashratam asatkritosi viharas savyasana bojaneshu eko tavapyachuta tat samaksham tat kamaye tvamaham aprameyam yatschavahasharatram asatkritosi viharasayasana bojaneshu eko tavapyachuta tat samaksham tat kamaye tvam aham aprameyam.
Due to the familiarity of affection, I have rashly addressed you, Krishna, Jadava, or my friend, ignorant of this, your greatness. O infallible Lord, whatever disrespect I have shown you in jest, while relaxing, resting, sitting or eating, either alone with you or in company, I beg you, the inconceivable, to please forgive me for that.
Pitasi lokasya characharasya tvamasya pujascha guru garayam natvat samosti abhayadika kutonyo lokatraye apratima prabhava. Pitasi lokasya characharasya tvamasya pujascha guru garayam natvat samosti abhyadika kutonyo loko prayeti apratima prabhava.
You are the father of all living beings, the worshipable and most glorious teacher. You have no equal within these three worlds. How can there be anyone greater than you, O Lord of unrivaled power?
Tasmat pranamya pranidaya kayam prasaddaye tvam maham isham midyam piteva putrasya sakeva sukyo Priya Priya Yarasi Deva Shodham Tasmat Pranamya Pranidaya Kayam Prasadaye Twamaham Ishamidyam Piteva Putrasya Sakeva Sukyo Priya Priya Yarasi Deva Shodham.
So I offer my prostrate obeisance unto you, my Lord, and worshipable Master, praying for your mercy. Please excuse me as a father, friend, or lover overlooks the mistakes of his son, companion, or beloved.
Adrishta purva maharshito smidrishtva vayena cha pravyatitam manome tadeva me darshaya deva rupam prasiddha deva sa jagannivasa. Adrista purvam rishitosmi drishtva vayena cha pravyahitam mano me tadeva me darshaya deva rupam prasiddha deva sa jagannivasa.
O Lord, my heart is joyful to see your hitherto unseen universal form. Yet I am afraid, O God of gods, shelter of the universe. Be gracious upon me and appear in the form I saw before.
Kirittinam gadinam chakrahashtam Icchami tvam drashtum aham tataiva Tenaiva rupena chattubhujena Sahasrabahu bhava vishvamurte. Kirittinam gadinam chakrahashtam Icchami tvam drashtum aham tataiva Tenaiva rupena chaturbhujena Sahasrabahu bhava vishvamurte.
I wish to see you again wearing a crown and holding a club and disc. O thousand-armed Lord, O universal form, please appear in that four-armed form.
Sri Bhagavan Vacha Maya Prasanena Tavur Arjunedam Rupam Param Darshitam Atma Yogat Tejo mayam vishvamanantamadyam yanme tvad anyena na drishtapurvam. Shri Bhagavan uvacha maya prasanena tavarjunedam rupam param darshitam atma yogat tejo mayam vishvamanantamadyam yanme tvad anyena na drishtapurvam.
The Supreme Lord said, O Arjuna, I grant you my special favor. I have today revealed this effulgent, universal, infinite and primeval form by my divine potency. This supreme universal form has never been seen by anyone before.
Naveda yagyadyaner nadaner na chakriyabhir na topabhir ugrai evam rupa shakya aham nik loke drashtam tvad anyena kuru pravira naveda yagyana dyaner nadane na chakraye bir na tapo bir ugrai evam rupa shakya aham riloke drashtam tvad anyena kuru pravira.
O Arjun, most valiant of the Kauravas, no one in this human plane can see this form of mine that you have seen, neither by study of the Vedas, nor Vedic sacrifices, nor charity, nor rituals, nor severe austerity.
Matve vyata macha vimudda bhavo drishva rupam goram idrin mamedam vyapeta bi prittamana punashtvam tadeva me rupam idam prapasya mate vyata macha vimudda bhavo drishva rupam gora idrin mamedam vyapeta bi pritamana punastvam tadeva me rupam idam prapasya.
Be not bewildered by seeing this terrible aspect of mine. Do not fear. Now with a peaceful heart behold my forearm form once again.
Sanjaya uvacha ityarjunam vasudevas tatokta svakam rupam darshayamasa buya Ashvashyamasa chabitamenam Bhutvapuna shomyavapur mahatma Sanjayo vacha ityarjunam vasudevas tatoktva Svakam rupam dashayama subhuya Ashvashyamasa chabitamenam Bhutvapuna shomyavapur mahatma
Sanjay said, speaking thus to Arjun, Krishna again revealed his own form, and once again he revealed his charming personality, the most merciful Sri Krishna, of human feature, adorned with yellow cloth, Kaushtubha jewel, and Vajayanti garland, thus reassuring the fearful Arjuna.
Arjuna uvacha drisvedam manusam rupam tavashomya janardana Idanim asmi samvrita sacheta prakritim gata Arjuna uvacha drisvedam manusam rupam tavasomya janardana Idanim asmi samvrita sacheta prakritim gata
Arjun said, O Janardan, seeing your beautiful form of human feature, I am calm and composed once again.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Sudurdarsham idam rupam dristavam asyan mama devapyasya rupasya nityam darshana kangshina Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Sudurdarsham idam rupam dristavam asyan mama devapyasya rupasya nityam darshana kangshina
The Supreme Lord said, O Arjun, it is very rare that anyone sees this, my form, which you now behold. Even the gods constantly aspire for a glimpse of this human-like divine form.
Naham vedena tapasa nadanena nachejaya sakyevam vidudrashtam dristavam asiyan mama Naham vedena tapasa nadanena nachejaya Sakyevam vidudastam vistavam asiyan mama
Neither by study of the Vedas, nor by austerity, charity or sacrifice can anyone see my eternal human-like form of the sweet absolute as you see me.
Bhakta to anaya sakya ahamevam vidorjuna gyatam drashtam chatatvena Pravestam cha parantapa bhaktyatva nyaya sakya aham evam vidarjuna gyatam drashtam cha tatvena pravestam cha parantapa
O Arjun, conqueror of the enemy, only by pure devotion is it possible to know me, see me, and enter my divine pastimes.
Mat karma krin Mat paramo mat bhakta sangabarjita nivara sarvabhutesho yasamam eti pandava mat karma krin mat paramo mat bhakta sangabarjita nivara sarvabhutesho yasamam eti pandava
O Arjun, my devotee who gives up all attachments and whose heart is totally free from enmity to all beings, who serves me wholeheartedly, knowing me as the Supreme, reaches me.
Iti Sri Mahabharate Shatasahasrayam Sahityam Vaishasikyam Bhishma Parvani Srimad Bhagavad Gita Shupanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Sri Krishna Arjuna Sambade Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga Namadhyaka Darsho Jayaha
End of the 11th chapter, The Vision of the Universal Form, from the conversation of Sri Krishna and Arjuna in Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishad, the yoga scripture of transcendental knowledge, in the Bhishma Parva of Sri Mahabharata, the holy scripture revealed by Srila Vyasadeva in 100,000 verses.
Now this is Vishwarup Darshan. I remember when I first visited the Hare Krishna temple, first Hare Krishna temple I visited, I was 14 years old, Bhaktivedanta Manor, And one devotee was giving a class there. His name was Hare Krishna Das. He had bright red hair. He was a very nice devotee. But he was. They used to have like mock debates. So one devotee would take the position of a challenger, and another one would take the position of the devotee. But when you're a newcomer, it's a bit confusing when you see that, because I didn't know what was going on, and I was thinking, well, I thought they all believed the same thing. You know? Anyway, he was reading this chapter, or this verse, about the universal form, and he made this statement. So, if anyone, any rascal, says that they are God, then we will challenge them. Then please reveal to me your universal form. And if they are unable to show their universal form, then we will tell them, you are not God, you are dog. So this was his statement. Then the devotee who was taking the opposing position, he challenged him and he said, I am God. And then he said, then show me your universal form. And his reply was, you do not have the eyes to see my universal form. You cannot see with your mundane eyes this universal form. So then Hare Krishna Das Prabhu, he says, then give me divine eyes to see the universal form. And then that devotee said, I will give you divine eyes when I am satisfied by your surrender and service to me. So if you serve me and worship me for the rest of your life, then I'll reveal my universal form to you, give you the eyes to see that. So I thought, oh, his argument failed. But this reminds me, and it's a very convenient segue into the life and pastimes of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He, of course, is the founder of the Krishna consciousness movement in the modern age. He revived Gaudiya Vaishnavism and lifted it from the quagmire of Prakriti Sahajism, imitationism, and gave new life to the tradition. Anyhow, we can say so many things about his life. He was born in 1838, and his father was Raj Krishnananda Dutta, a very wealthy landowner in Calcutta, Howrah area. It was very famous and very well-known aristocratic family there. But anyhow, throughout his life, many things happened. At one point, he was the deputy magistrate of Orissa state. When he finished his education, he decided, what I will do for a living, you know, to make money. And he saw all businessmen, they are all cheating and all immoral. Then I will not do business. So he thought, I'll be a school teacher. That's an honorable profession. And he did that for some time. He established different schools, and he was a headmaster of many different schools, and established seats of learning throughout Bengal and Orissa and other, and Bihar and other surrounding areas. But finally, he left education and was appointed in government service at different places, but at one point as the deputy magistrate and chief collector in Orissa. And that time, there was one mystic yogi who was an imposter Vishnu. Vishakshena, his name was. And he was a great mystic, and he lived in the forest in Orissa, in the forest there. And he was a great mystic. He could do many mystical things. He was often seen meditating beside a huge fire, and he would plunge his body into the fire and then come out of the fire again unscathed. He was also seen to be able to produce fire from his hand. Many things he did. And he had two associates, his like right-hand and left-hand men, and one who told that they were Brahma and one was Shiva, and that he was Narayan. And many people believed it by seeing all his miracles and so many things. They believed him to be an avatar of the Lord. And even many kings of that area, Rajas, they would send him money, and they would also send him women so that he could perform the Rasa Leela dance. He did all these things. And he declared, I will drive the British out of India, and I myself will sit on the throne of India. So when the British heard that, they weren't very happy. So they asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur to sort him out, basically. Kedarnath Dutt, his name was, Bhaktivinoda Thakur at that time, Kedarnath Dutt. And because of the power that this man had, everyone was afraid to approach him. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, taking a number of police officers, he went himself to arrest him. And when he arrived there, immediately that Vishakshena, he said, oh, you are Kedarnath Dutt, and you have come to arrest me. Beware, you do not know who I am. And Kedarnath said, oh, you're a great mystic. Why are you living in the jungle? Why don't you come to Puri, there, living Lord Jagannath? You can have the darshan of Lord Jagannath. He said, Jagannath, he is just a painted wooden idol. Why should I go there when I myself am the Supreme Lord? Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur became furious to hear him make such a statement, and immediately by his own hand arrested him and had him dragged to the prison in Puri, in Orissa. He was dragged to the prison there, and a trial was set. And everyone was fearful. The trial went for 18 days, the trial went. And maybe on the third or fourth day of the trial, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's daughter, his youngest daughter, she was 6 years old, Kadambani, her name was Kadambani, and she became deathly ill. It appeared that she would die. And after 2 days, she recovered. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur could understand that it was Vishakshena who had made her become ill. And he stood before him and he said, let us all die. It is okay, but you will be punished. Then Bhaktivinoda became ill the same way as his daughter was. And also it appeared like he was going to die. But finally they brought him on a stretcher. He came into the courtyard to try the case still, and found him guilty of political subversion. And he was sentenced to 18 months imprisonment. And during the time of the trial, the Vishakshena had not taken any food or any drink. So as he was being taken down, none of the Hindu police officers would come near him. So Bhaktivinoda had to employ 34 Muslim police officers to guard him. They weren't afraid of him. Maybe they were afraid of him, but not as afraid as the Hindus were. Anyway, then as he was being taken down by the police officers to go to the court, the chief medical officer, he jumped behind him and with a big pair of shears cut off his hair. They had very long hair, and as you probably know, mystics, they keep their siddhi in their hair. So when they cut off his hair, he collapsed on the floor and was taken into the prison. And after 3 months, he took poison and killed himself. Anyway, this showed Bhaktivinoda's fearless nature, that he did not accept anyone and everyone who claimed themselves to be an avatar of the Lord and actually punished them for that. Fearlessly punished them. And also, he was appointed as the chief overseer of the Jagannath temple to root out corruption amongst the priests there. And even the Raja of Puri at that time, he took money from the temple to spend on himself, like a large amount of money. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he called the Raja into the court and made a court order on him that you have to, for 3 months, you have to give 52 times boga to Jagannath. You have to pay for it for 3 months, 52 times every day. Yeah. And at the end of those 3 months, the Raja was almost bankrupt. So he tried, that Raja, he tried to kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very famous. So the Raja of Orissa at that time, he had 30 Brahmins come, and they made fire sacrifice with mantras for 30 days in secret to try to kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And the plan was that on the 30th day, when they put the last oblation into the fire, Bhaktivinoda would fall dead. But instead of Bhaktivinoda Thakur falling dead, the Raja's son fell dead instead. Anyway, these are some histories of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but that is more before his, you can say, not conversion, because Srila Guru Maharaj said we must conceive that because of the contribution that he made to our Sampradaya, that although externally it looks like he was an ordinary man who became attracted to Mahaprabhu, like you, if you read his biography, you'll see like that. That at about the age of 30, he came in touch with Chaitanya Charitamrita and studied that, and gradually became attracted to Mahaprabhu, and considering him to be the all-in-all. Although he was educated by the British, and considered to be one of the Bengali intellectual elite at that time, and the British were hopeful that he would, you know, like promote British culture. And in the beginning, many of his writings, they were more in favor of like Christianity and so on, until he came across Chaitanya Charitamrita. And after reading that, ostensibly it was a wholesale conversion. But Guru Maharaj said, because of this, such a substantial contribution he made to our Sampradaya, that we cannot but consider that he was not a fallen soul who became Krishna conscious, but he actually descended from the spiritual world to give something to the world. Anyway, he was extraordinary in all respects. While he was living in Puri, his daily program was that in the evening time, after taking his supper, he would take rest at 8 o'clock, then he would rise at 10 o'clock. And then from 10 o'clock until 4 in the morning, he would write. Then at 4 in the morning, he would take half an hour or 15 minutes more rest. And then he would get up, wash his hands and mouth, and chant Harinam on his Japa Mala till 7 o'clock in the morning. And at 7 o'clock, then he would, if anyone had come to see him, he would meet them then. If no one would come to see him, then he would study Shastra. And then by about 9 o'clock in the morning, he would take his bath, take his breakfast, and go to the court. And then when he would, at the court, he would hear the cases until 1 o'clock. Then he would return to his home, bathe and refresh himself, and then return back to the court 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And there he would go till about 4 or 4:30, hearing more cases. And no other judges there would be able to hear as many cases as he did. Maybe 45 cases he would hear in a day. Whereas other judges, other magistrates, would take them 45 minutes or an hour to decide the case. In 5 minutes he would decide the case. And then he would write his decision in 2 or 3 minutes. And all of the, you know, like the high court judges and so on, they were all amazed by how perfect his verdicts always were. Anyway, this way, that when he was 30 years old, he gave that famous talk at Dinajpur, the Bhagavat talk. And that is available. That was given in English and considered a classic of Vaishnava thought, the Bhagavat speech of Dinajpur. He was married at the age of 12, and his wife was 5 years old when he married. And he had one son with her, and when he was 30 she died, and he took another wife. Her name was Bhagavati. She was most famous as his wife, and she stayed with him till his last days. And they had 13 children. And all of those children he called as something Prashad, the male children. Bimala Prashad, Kamala Prashad, Lalita Prashad, and so on. And the fourth son, that was Bimala Prashad, and he was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, the fourth son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Anyway, as his life went on, he became more absorbed in his internal life rather than the external goings on of the world. And he took 2 years leave from his service to the government. I gave him 2 years leave, and during that time he moved his home to Krishnagar in Navadvip, because he decided that he was going to live in Vrindavan, spend his last days in Vrindavan. This was his plan. But in a dream, Krishna appeared to him and said, yes, you will go to Vrindavan, but you have some service in Navadvip first. What will you do about that? Then Bhaktivinoda realized he had to do this service, and that was to locate the place of Mahaprabhu's appearance. So he went to Navadvip and researched all the geographical and historical information to try and find. There was more or less it was a jungle there in one town of where Navadvip town is now. And some of the local Brahmins, they'd established a temple there called Prachin Mayapur. And they told that was the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, and they were making a good trade from that. You know, like as a tourist pilgrimage site, people would go there and pay money to them. And they would take money from that. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not convinced that this was the place of Mahaprabhu's appearance. So while he was staying there, he had a vision. One night, they were staying at the Dharmshala, at a Dharmshala there, and he was sitting on the roof, chanting his japa in the early hours of the morning, and in the middle of the night appeared a vision of the Adbhut Mandir. Across the river, he saw like a glowing, effulgent temple. Yes, we lost you for a minute.
Yes, we are here.
Okay. So I'm just telling that how Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he saw the Adbhut Mandir in a vision from the top of the Dharmshala. And seeing that, he could understand this is the place of where the Mahaprabhu appeared. And the next night also, he was on the roof with his son, Kamala Prashad, and one of the servants. And again he saw the vision. And after the vision finished, he asked his son, did you see? And his son said, yes, I saw it. And he asked the servant, did you see? The servant said, no, I didn't see anything. So anyway, he went to that place and he found this area, and spoke to the local people, the local farmers. They told him, oh, this land is useless. Nothing grows here. We've tried everything. The only thing that will grow here is Tulsi. It's the only thing that will grow. Nothing else will grow. Researching the local archaeological records and so on, he considered this is the place. This was his where he saw that vision and so on. This is the place where Mahaprabhu appeared. And to confirm that, he called Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was sometimes living in Mayapur, or in Navadvip area, and sometimes living in Vrindavan. 6 months of the year he spent in Vrindavan, 6 months of the year he spent in Navadvip. Just at this time he was in Navadvip. He was staying in one house, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur had renovated the house for him so that he could stay there. And so he called him. He was the leader of the Vaishnavas, Mahaprabhu's followers at that time. He called him and told him, I think this is my inspiration, that this is Mahaprabhu's birthplace. And that time Jagannath Babaji was very old and he could not walk, and his disciple carried him on a basket, like a basket on his back. Then when he saw that place, and Bhaktivinoda asked him, is this the place? He jumped leapt from the basket and danced in that place, although he couldn't walk, then confirming that this was actually the place of Mahaprabhu's appearance. Then Bhaktivinoda decided that he would now take, that was when he decided to take 2 years' leave from his service with the government, and during that time he would make this temple of Mahaprabhu. Already he was living in Calcutta then, and he had established his place, Bhakti Bhavan. He stayed at Bhakti Bhavan, and there he worshipped Giriraj, and with his family lived there. But now he wanted to make this temple, so he went, this is a little known fact, although he had wealth of his own, but he went door to door and begged from every Hindu household that they would give 1 rupee towards the building of this temple. And he was determined the temple would be built by every Hindu gentleman in the Calcutta area giving 1 rupee towards this. He would say, I want to build a temple of Mahaprabhu and Vishnupriya. Please you give. And some people gave 1 rupee, some people... Of course, 1 rupee was worth a lot more in those days than it is today. Anyway, he managed to raise the funds to build that temple, and that temple is there, the Jogapit temple in Mayapur, and the deity of Mahaprabhu and Vishnupriya, they were installed there, and also Radha Govinda, and you've all seen, I'm sure you've all been to see there. This was also when he was staying there, meditating every morning. About 4 o'clock he would feel a wind, the same time, like some extraordinary wind come past him every morning, and he wants to ascertain what is this. So praying and going, you know, deeply within himself, he realized that this wind actually was Lord Nrsimhadev coming every morning to see the arati of Mahaprabhu. And so on the side of that temple, there you'll see the deity of Lakshmi Narsinga has been installed there by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then on the other side, Gaur Gadadhar. Gaur Gadadhar was Bhaktivinoda's internal worship of Gaur Gadadhar. That is very deep and esoteric meaning to that worship. It is very much actually abused, because we understand from Gaur Ganadesh Dipika and other places that Gadadhar Pandit, he is the avatar of Radha. So sometimes the Sahajiyas, they worship Gaur Gadadhar as Radha and Krishna. But it is a very deep thing, and we do not have time to discuss that here. But the Sahajiyas, there's one temple near the ghat in Mayapur where they make the worship of Gaur Gadadhar, and they dress Gaur up as Krishna and Gadadhar as Radha with sari and everything. And I see many devotees go there and, oh, very beautiful. But they do, actually, it's offensive, a very offensive type of worship. It's not a play thing. So that is, they want to, those devotees who worship in that way, they are called Gauranagaris. And they have been identified by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur as one of the 100 deviant sects of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Sahajiya sects. Means that claim to follow Mahaprabhu. And this is one. Because Krishna is Vrindavan Nagara. He's the enjoyer. They think that Mahaprabhu should be Gauranagara, showing an enjoying form. But Mahaprabhu, of course, came as Bhakta Avatar to show the perfect example of how to be a devotee. And there's no licentious behavior in any way by him. But they like to show some like amorous relationship between him and Gadadhar. It's a very unhappy conception, this Gauranagari. Anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his own internal bhajan was the worship of Gaur Gadadhar, but in a very deep and esoteric way, and he established the worship of Gaur Gadadhar. When Srila Gurudev, when he was establishing the Jal Mandir in Navadvip, he was asking us, who shall the deity be inside the temple there, on the kunda? And different devotees were giving their, it should be Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, it should be Radha and Krishna, it should be Giriraj, like giving their different idea. And one devotee said, Gaur Gadadhar, install Gaur Gadadhar. And then Srila Govinda Maharaj became very grave and serious. And he leant over and he said, can you explain the meaning of the worship of Gaur Gadadhar? And that devotee was silent. No, Maharaj, I can't. Then he said, it is not a plaything. You know, that establishing the worship is not a plaything. Anyway, as we know, Giriraj was installed there because that area of Navadvipa, that is Gupta Govardhan, the hidden Govardhan in Vrindavan, in Navadvipa, excuse me, and Mahaprabhu also going there sometimes to join him. Anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote so many books, gave so many talks about Krishna consciousness, he established his Nam Hatha, means the marketplace of the holy name. And it is also, that is also a very deep thing. He considered himself as the sweeper of the Nam Hatha. The means the market of Nityananda Prabhu. It is not that every house program we go to, we call it Nam Hatha. That is foolishness. Nam Hatha was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's established program, where he would preach the meaning of the holy name. And he would write many songs and many things explaining the meaning of Krishna consciousness in a very deep way. And he would establish these groups, and sometimes he would join with them. But he writes in his own diary that, unfortunately, if I don't attend with them for 2 or 3 weeks, when I come back, they're not singing Krishna bhajan anymore, they're singing cinema songs. Or whatever the equivalent of, that was in those days. I don't suppose they had cinemas in those days. But, mundane love songs. They'd be singing that instead of the bhajans that he'd introduced. So it was a very difficult thing for him. So he, finally he encouraged his son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, to take on the responsibility of the worship of the Yoga Pit, and for preaching the conception of Mahaprabhu. Actually, Sarasvati Thakur's nature was a reclusive nature. He wanted to do Nirjan Bhajan. And he was living in a mot in the Navadvipa area and was doing that. His own internal bhajan, and he was going to do that. But on the request of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he came out from there and established, as we know, he established the Gaudiya Mot for the Gaudiya Mission. But only for the preaching of the conception of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You see how rare is Krishna Bhakti. That Bhaktivinoda Thakur had 14 children, but only 2 of them showed some aptitude towards Krishna consciousness. Like some real deep aptitude towards Krishna consciousness. And one of them, we're just repeating what Guru Maharaj said, one of them was considered as a Prakrita Sahajya, not substantial devotee. That was Lalit Prasad. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur himself wrote an article about his brother, saying that he misconceived who Bhaktivinoda Thakur was. That rather than considering him as Radha, he considered him as Dada, as his father. Considered him as his father, but he should have conceived of him as Radha, as the supreme manifestation of Guru. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, his whole preaching was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's conception. And all the deities he installed, they were all called like Radha Vinod and Vinod Bihari, like all different Vinod. Like Srila Guru Maharaj, his was Govinda Sundar was the name he liked, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vinod, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Vinod, all of the Vinod Pran, the different Radha Vinod Pran, Radha Braja Vinod, and so on, different deities, all with the name of Vinod in there. But
to establish Krishna consciousness in the world, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote the first treatise of about Krishna consciousness in the English language, and that was sent all over the world. Actually, it was the introduction of a booklet that was written, he wrote in Sanskrit, but the introduction was in English, and that became known as Sri Chaitanya's Life and Precepts. And the American transcendentalists like Emerson and Thoreau, they read that and appreciated that, and many different people from around the world appreciated that. It was sent to the British Museum Library, the Library of Congress, and this was the first, you know, preaching of Mahaprabhu's teachings outside of India and in the English language. So he was very keen to do that. That was followed by his son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. His writings, they were all of an extraordinary type. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings, if you study them, you'll see they're not just rote repetition of concepts from a book. Rather, they are his own deep realizations, and they take the very essence of what is Krishna consciousness and they present that in a very extraordinary, poetical, and simple way that all people can understand. When he wrote Krishna Sangita, that was widely distributed all over India and appreciated by the intelligentsia of India. And also many other books that he wrote, the Jiva Dharma especially, and two commentaries of Bhagavad Gita he wrote, which were both published. His commentary of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he wrote Bhagavat Arka Marichimala, which was condensing the Srimad Bhagavatam into 1,000 verses, the key verses, 1,000 verses. When he wrote that, he said, in his introduction, he says, it's very difficult for me to express what inspired me to write this book. He said, if I do, then I'll be accused of arrogance and hubris. But if I do not, it will be disrespectful to who inspired me. And he said, then I have to tell you that Nityananda Prabhu himself appeared in a vision to me in a dream and told me to take 1,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam and condense them into one book. And I began that work and made that book, Bhagavat Arka Marichimala, it was called. A very important book. And he also discovered maybe one of the only existing copies of the Chaitanya Upanishad, which he published and wrote his commentary on that. And so many other books. Chaitanya Shikshamritam is also a very important book. And there are many. The Prema Pradeep, that's also a very a wonderful and excellent book. Nambajan, and many, there are too many to mention, and too many that I cannot remember also. They're all very important. And Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada said, in his commentary of Chaitanya Charitamrita, one day all of these great important works of Bhaktivinoda Thakur will be translated into the English language. And he said, and those who think that they do not need to read these books, or lack the zeal to study the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they will not get Krishna consciousness. It's there. And so for those who say, you only need to read Prabhupada's books, you don't need to read any other books, he himself has written in those books that you don't need to read any other books, that you should all read and study the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So therefore, then we can harmonize the two ideas. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur's work is seminal, and also it's the foundation of the Krishna consciousness movement in the world. He conceived and predicted that one day all the peoples of the world, the Europeans, the Russians, the Americans,
all nations and races of the world, they will all come together to chant the holy name of Krishna. They will all join with the devotees of India and visit the holy places where Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes with their arms upraised, chanting Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana. And we see that prophecy has come to pass and continuing to come to pass. And not only that, he also wrote that the day will come when all other religious conceptions in the world will fall away and only the religion of Mahaprabhu will remain. That it must happen that the intelligent men and women of the world will see that the only panacea for all problems is what Mahaprabhu has come to give. And when that day happens, then there will be no necessity for any other religious conception in the world. It is perfect and all-encompassing. So, of course, everyone will say, well, that's what all religious people say, right? That their religion's the best and their religion's the only way and so on and so on. And yes, it's true, but time will tell what will be the cause, what will be the result of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prophecy. Whether we will see it in our life or not, we do not know. But we believe it to be true. And it is actually, if you look from an objective point of view, if you stand back and study the teachings of Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Dev as presented by his followers, then it is the most perfect religious conception in the world. Of course, there still remain different conceptions in the world because people are drawn to those according to their inner spiritual evolution and their inner necessity. But more or less we can say most religious conceptions in the world, they are more or less mundane. They are not concerned with transcendence. They are not concerned with real spirituality. They're concerned with ritual and with mundane advancement. You see it on the back of the buses. You know, come to the glory church and become a winner, you know. God wants you to be a winner. This is the mundane idea, is that if you're affluent and successful in life, that means you have the blessings of God. And if you join our church, then you'll become wealthy and successful and you'll get everything that you ever dreamed of by the grace of God. So that's okay, but it is not pure devotion. Mahaprabhu has shown the example of pure devotion. And whether you embrace me, or whether you treat me roughly, or whether you neglect me, or are completely indifferent to me, whatever you want to do, I am yours to handle as you like. Birth after birth, I am your servant, in whichever way you wish to treat me. Now, this is pure devotion. No request on our part, or no assertion from our part. If we worship you, you have to give us our daily bread, or if we worship you, then, you know, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself, he wrote in one book, the idea that we should worship God because of all the good things that he has given us. This is not a bad idea, but it implies that if he doesn't give us any good things, then we shouldn't worship him. You see, so this is not pure devotion. Pure devotion is independent of that. So here in the 11th chapter, Krishna has shown Arjuna his universal form. And what the result of that is that Arjuna is extremely afraid to see that. He begins to explain to Krishna, hinting to Krishna, everyone is afraid when they see this. And then a few verses later he says, everyone, including me, is afraid to see this form. And then a few verses later he says, I'm very afraid to see this form. Please show me the form that I saw before. That human-like form. So Krishna, first of all, he shows his forearm form of Narayan. And then his human-like form of Shyam Sundar. At that form, he himself says that the gods in heaven, they are begging to get a glimpse of such a form. This form of mine. And this is Krishna's eternal form. But he also says you cannot see this form by any amount of austerity, any amount of Vedic learning, any amount of sacrifice, any amount of charity, or any type of austerity, by doing any of these things, that doesn't qualify you to see me in this original form. What is the qualification? Only unalloyed loving devotion to me. So we see this, example of this, in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We heard from Guru Maharaj that his godbrother, his name was Parvat Maharaj, when he was a young boy, he lived in the house next door to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he said every morning, from about 1 o'clock in the morning, he would walk in his garden chanting japa. And he said, but when we heard him chanting his japa, it is not like, you know, Hare Krishna. So it is like a child crying for his mother. So this is the sound that we heard. Like a child crying, lost child crying for his mother. And he would walk back and forth in the garden, and sometimes he had a concrete chair in the garden, and sometimes he would sit in that chair and chant like this. So little wonder that that boy, a young boy, next door neighbor of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, little wonder that when he grew up he became a Gaudiya Sannyasi of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. When you will hear that kind of chanting, then what will be the result? There's a famous writer, Bengali writer, Shishu Kumar Ghosh. He met Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Bhaktivinoda spent much time with him. And then finally, at Shishu Kumar Ghosh, he made this statement. We've heard about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, but we have not seen them. But I consider you are the seventh Goswami. And that Shishu Kumar Ghosh, he wrote a book. It's called Lord Gauranga. In English version, and there's also a Bengali version. That's right. Amani Maicharit, yes. But in English, it's Lord Gauranga. And that's available, still that book is available, in English also. It is published by Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan. And Guru Maharaj said, told us we can go through that book. In fact, it was the first book that Srila Sridhar Maharaj read about Lord Chaitanya. And he said, although the Siddhanta is not perfect, and also historically some inaccuracies, he said, but the mood of it, he said, was wonderful, and I devoured it like nectar. Guru Maharaj said,
"I gave it my full devotion." Believe
then also, another famous Bengali writer, Bankim Chandra, he wrote some book about the pastimes of Krishna, and he came to, because he knew Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's the one to consult if you want to know anything about Krishna. So he came to present his book to him. And when Bhaktivinoda read it, he was very unhappy, because in it he described Krishna as a mundane person who had some good qualities. Then reading that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a little alarmed, and he spent like one whole week preaching to him and explaining the real meaning of Krishna Bhakti. And after that 1 week, Bankim Chandra, he rewrote his whole book. And the book came out in another way, and it was perfectly devotional, the sentiment was perfectly devotional. And in the foreword to that book, Bankim Chandra, he wrote that, "I'm completely indebted to Kedarnath Datta Bhaktivinoda. Without that, this book would have been something else." You know, so. Anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very famous in his time and much respected. And finally, in his last days, he took sannyas, but Babaji Vesh, not the red sannyas with danda. That was not even done in Gaudiya Vaishnava circles at that time. That was reintroduced by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur following Ramanuja. But then he took the white vesh of the Babaji. It's called Bahir Vesh, you know, just the short white cloth, one cloth and one cloth there. And he retired from the all public life. And he had one disciple whose name was Krishna Das, and he would go everywhere with him. And as he became more and more internalized, he would forget his external appearance, and sometimes he would just go naked. He didn't even think about that. But if anyone came to see Bhaktivinoda, then Krishna Das would sit him in the chair, cover him with some cloth, and then, like, these people have come to see you, you know, like, make sure he was respectable. Some people came from Calcutta, they'd heard about, they were scholars or lawyers or, you know, like some young Bengali men, and they came to see Bhaktivinoda Thakur one day, and they asked him, could you tell us something about Krishnanand? And that time Bhaktivinoda Thakur, oh, you want to hear about Krishnanand? Oh, Krishnanand, oh, you are so fortunate you want to hear it. And this way he became like, he was overwhelmed, and like went into a trance and fainted, fell from the chair. In the last, finally in his last days, he actually shut himself in his room and told Krishna Das, you tell everyone I'm suffering from paralysis and I cannot go anywhere. And he would just stay in his room and all day and all night taking Harinam and nothing else. Hardly eating, hardly sleeping, and just taking Harinam like Haridas Thakur. And finally, when he passed away on the disappearance day of Gadadhar Pandit, same day, and big festival was organized by Saraswati Thakur, and over 3,000 people came to for that samadhi observance, because he was so much loved and famous in Bengal, and so many people came to understand Krishna consciousness through him. Not only that, in the state of Tripura, the king of Tripura invited Bhaktivinoda Thakur to come there, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur came there, and in the court of the Maharaj of Tripura, he preached Harikatha for 1 week, and so many thousands of people came to hear his Harikatha during that time. So, you know, he was a giant in his time, and in the annals of the history of Krishna consciousness, the Krishna consciousness movement. He was the father of the Krishna consciousness movement in the modern age. We are all followers of him. We are all indebted to him. We cannot think about Krishna consciousness without Bhaktivinoda Thakur. All of the conceptions of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Prabhupada, all of the great Vaishnavas, they are all following in the line of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's called Bhaktivinoda Paribar. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Guru Maharaj wrote one song, Bhaktivinoda Viraha Dasakam. And he wrote that in the time of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he said to us, Guru Maharaj said, I believe this was the key to Guru Maharaj's affection to me. When I gave this composition to him, and he read this composition, well, after reading it, he said, oh, it is a very happy style, he told, like this. He said, but when, after Guru Maharaj, Srila Sridhar Maharaj had left the room, he told the other devotees that were there, he did not write this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote this through him. And then he also said, although this is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, after hearing this, Bhaktivinoda Viraha Dasakam, he said, although I may leave this world, now I am confident that there is one man who can properly represent me to the world, that is Sridhar Maharaj. And this was the key to that, this Bhaktivinoda Viraha Dasakam. So that is also a very important work. It is wonderful how, especially the fifth verse, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur especially appreciated, how much he was able to represent the inner feeling of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So much so that many people asked Guru Maharaj, how is it that you did not meet him? You know, because what you say, what you speak is so close to what he came to give the world. It is as if you are yourself, you met it, as if you met him. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, appearance day today. So, as I said, he also wrote two commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, and both were published. And one was the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and one his own commentary. They were published in two different books, and so many books. If you will read his works, you will get Krishna consciousness. You will really get the understanding. And you can see that he was ostensibly a worldly man, you can say. You know, he had a big family. He had to arrange to have his daughters married. He had to, you know, arrange the education of his and the livelihood of his families and so on. But still, he practiced pure devotion. And nobody ever found any stain on his character at all. His character was absolutely perfect and immaculate. He decided from a very young age that he would not do business, so that he wouldn't have to do any crooked kind of work or any kind of cheating in any way whatsoever. And it is told that for his character, any Brahmin would come to visit him, they would go away more than satisfied, not just spiritually but also materially. He liked to help Brahmins financially also. He was a wealthy man. And it's also told that he never spoke a bad word about anybody. He never used harsh words in his conversation with anyone. Always gentle and sober and perfect. Even the British government in which he served, they all considered him like an exemplary person. In fact, when he was magistrate, the chief magistrate, I forget his name now, but anyway, he was an Englishman, and he came to see him in his last days, and he told him, "Now is my last days, and it is our custom that if we have ever wronged anybody, we have to come and apologize to them and ask for their forgiveness, so that we can, you know, die with a clear conscience." And he said, "I have to tell you, when you served under me, I tried everything to undermine you, because I thought, if there are more people like this in Bengal, then the British will never be able to rule the India. If there are more people of your type of character, we will never be able to rule this country. So I tried everything to like undermine your position, and now I come, I want to apologize to you for that." And Bhaktivinoda's reply to him was, "I always considered you as my well-wisher," and gave his blessing to him. Now, this is his nature. Very wonderful Vaishnava. We cannot imitate him, but we can try to follow in his footsteps, to show as much as possible perfect conduct and how to represent Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Dev in a very dignified and sober way. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, his son, he was a lifelong celibate, never married, and he took the teachings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and spread them all over India and all over the world. Guru Maharaj said Bhaktivinoda Thakur's approach was very sober and gentle, and more, slow but sure wins the race, was his idea. By following in the standard way, in a proper way, slow but sure. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, his approach was mainly revolutionary. Like, jump into Krishna consciousness, sacrifice yourself for Krishna consciousness. Different to that. But his whole inspiration was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we can see there's no, there's no acceptable uniform way for preaching Krishna consciousness. The great Mahatmas, the great devotees of the Lord, they have their own internal inspiration, and they preach in different ways. Like Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, he had his mood and method for preaching Krishna consciousness. And Srila Guru Maharaj, different mood and different way of preaching Krishna consciousness. But the goal is the same, just different ways of approaching. Srila Govinda Maharaj, he used to say, yes, I am the disciple of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and he is my master, and I always will obey everything he said, but by nature, my nature is more like Swami Maharaj's nature. And we saw that was the fact. Very easily able to mix with everybody, Srila Govinda Maharaj. And Guru Maharaj, the opposite of that, very reclusive and private person. So similarly, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, very worldly, you can say, in one sense, mixing with the society and showing the society, and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, more reclusive nature, but indomitable in his preaching of Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Anyway, today we got the opportunity in this Gita class to speak something about the glories of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and we pray that he will give his blessing and grace to us, that we can continue to push forward in our own small way the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is and was his life and soul. And by his grace, we get the proper conception, the proper siddhanta, and the proper mood of approach to the lotus feet of the Lord. So we pray today that he will be gracious to us. Now we'll end our Gita class for today. I'm just going to give out the study guides for you devotees in the Hat and Cross Mott. You can get them online in a few days. Our study guides will be online on the Mott website. Then also the earlier classes that we had before, they're all recorded, and they'll also be available on there for anyone who missed any. So I hope they'll be useful to you all. And I hope that we can join with you all again next week as well, where we'll be studying chapter 12.
Jai.
And now we'll end for today. Jai Shri Bhagavad Gita Upanishad ki jai.
Jai
Shri Krishna Arjun ki jai.
Jai
Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Abhibhav Maha Mahotsav ki jai. Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande. Hari Hari Bo. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Jadavaya Namaha.
Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Jadavaya Namaha.